Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Hello, welcome to the catch-up. We had a cacophony of politicians on the phone today, but it was fun at least.
Oh, it was so fun. Malcolm Turnbull, Matthias Cormann, and what's the other little fellow?
Down in the
froze?
Basement.
Christopher Pine.
Christopher Pine.
didn't hear much from him, did we? Yeah, just pushing through that rowing workout.
In other words, the Moon Man featured on the show today.
Yeah, Moon Man was here heavily. And Surf's Up, we discussed that. And Robin living on the river. All you people who bought on the river after the 2011 floods could get your comeuppance this weekend.
Oh, you reckon, do you? Stop laughing.
That's what the ants are telling me.
We went a bit deeper today, didn't we, Marto? Bravehearts, they're Australia's leading child protection organisation, and we found out exactly how it started.
Oh, incredible story. Now, Robin knew his wife. I just knew him as a beer drinking companion. He had a compelling story. It has to be listened to.
Yeah, big time. It's all on the catch up. Enjoy.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
So let me tell you a story. Now, Robin, you know Cole, our electrician.
Yes.
So one day I'm having a beer, a few weeks ago, having a beer in his shed, introduced me to another because there was about four of us, all tradesmen in the shed, having a yarn, and he said, do you know Ian? And I said, no, I don't know Ian. So we had a yarn, and he's got one hell of a story to tell. Ian Johnson, good morning and welcome to the Big Breakfast.
Good morning, Marto.
Well, you know his other name? He's not just Ian Johnson, he's Mr. Hetty Johnson.
Oh, I know Hetty. Hello, Ian.
Good morning, Robin.
Your story is quite unbelievable, but for those who don't know it, can you take us through it, please?
Yeah, in 1996, I was in New Zealand. Hetty was in Australia here. She was actually running for the Democrats in a Senate seat, and she said, go to New Zealand and go for your fishing, surfing, hunting trip. And I took my six-year-old daughter, and something just wasn't right when I landed back in New Zealand in Whakatane. So anyway, I asked her, I just said, has anyone ever touched you apart from mum and dad and, you know, in places and when things are sore, da da da. And she said, yes. And I said, who? And she said, Poppy. So from there on, your life changes.
Yeah. So is Poppy your father or Hetty's?
Yeah, Poppy's my father. So, yes, come home, we went to a counsellor, and then I proceeded with pressing charges against my dad, and I rang my sister in New Zealand. She left home when she was 15, and now I know why. I rang her, she said no. I rang her the next day, she was in tears, and my sister had been abused by my dad, went back 40 years through our family. My sister's daughter, my niece, my cousin, which is on mum's side, one of her sister's daughters. So, yeah, it was Ellie Johnson was a really nice guy, but a Jekyll and Hyde. So that's how they get away with it. So we went through the procedure and press charges, and we got him on 22 charges. The last time I saw my dad, he was being let out of the High Court in Rotorua in 1996, and that's the last time I ever spoke to him or saw him. He's dead now. He died about 8 years ago.
So, Ian, did your dad serve time in jail?
Yes, he got 4 years, but he served 22 months, and then he was out. Yeah, I never spoke to him after that.
So that's what, tell everyone what Bravehearts is if they don't know. We've seen Hetty, especially as the face of it, your wife, but tell everyone what you do.
Bravehearts is a child sexual assault charity. It's the leading charity in Australia. And they, as you know, what Hetty does, she lobbies the government. Hetty lobbied the government for the Queensland government for the blue card. All these sort of things have all come through from Bravehearts. It's a very tough charity to raise money for because, you know, one in five children are sexually assaulted before the age of 18. One in five, yeah. So it's massive.
What about your daughter? So this was a long time ago. She's now an adult, I take it?
Yep, she's 30 years old. Kayleen works for Bravehearts, and she's awesome.
Ian, I've never heard you tell, and I don't know whether you have told that story publicly before, but you tell me, you need to raise some money. Can you tell the extraordinary way you guys at Bravehearts have decided to raise money? Because we're going to try to help you.
Thank you very much. Yeah, we've got this thing called the Triple Sevens. It's the fifth consecutive year, but it's my first tent. And we do seven marathons in seven states in 7 days.
Oh, my Lord.
What? Like, this is a floor sander. Ian's a floor sander who's never run a marathon. He's about to run seven in 7 days.
That's a good way to do it. Just get him out of the way. You know what I mean?
How are you feeling about it, Ian? Are you prepared?
Yeah, I've been running since September last year. I'm up to sort of the 10K mark now. I did a 10K run yesterday morning and I did a 10K run this morning.
It's 42Ks a marathon,
times
bro.
Times seven.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just resting up, Marto.
Yeah, righto, fresh. Listen, how can we help? Can we go to Bravehearts and...
Can I tag you out at any point?
No. We would love to. I would love people to help. If people could just Google Braveheart 777 and then just look down the website there for Ian and Kayleen Johnson and donate money. You know, we've got to raise $10,000 per person to run. So and there's 25 or about 27 runners that are doing it as well for Braveheart.
I'm sure a lot of our listeners have liked it, love to help. And can I just say, you, your daughter and Hetty, your wife, have done a lot to change people with Bravehearts, mate. A lot of people need to thank you.
No, I really thank you very much. I really appreciate people like yourself allowing us to put it out there.
Ian Johnson there, co-founder of Bravehearts. And if you'd like to donate, you can, bravehearts.org.au. It is the Big Breakfast on Brisbane's Triple M.
Of the Belgium national anthem. And, of course, Australia's finance minister is the Belgian bean counter, Matthias Cormann. He's with us now.
Good morning to you, Marto, and hello to you, Robin Bailey, and to you, of course, Nicholas Cody, and Brendo, everybody in Brisbane. It's always a pleasure to speak with you. I was just making my breakfast of a hot chocolate and Nutella waffles when the phone was ringing, so I'm going to speak to you now.
Okay, well, you know, we needed to speak to you because you are in strife. It was on the news last night for taking a free flight. How did that happen?
Well, what you do is go to the airport and get on the plane. No, I'm just making the funnies. What happened was Andrew Burns is the treasurer of the Liberal Party, and he has given $170,000 from the business Hello World, of which he's the CEO. It's a $713 business, $713 million business, and had recently won a massive government contract. I know it sounds complicated, but anyway, he gave me a free flight.
It's just a coincidence.
That's right. The CEO is booking my travel for me. Oh, Matthias, would you like to take your family to Singapore? Yes, I would. Okay, let's see how much you owe here. $0.
Oh, wow.
Oh, what a deal, mate.
It works.
That's amazing. Actually, I think we got Malcolm Turnbull on the line as well. Malcolm?
Hello. I heard Matthias speaking to you, and I thought, I've got to call in. This is just too delicious. Matthias Cormann, the burbling little Belgian man. Why are you speaking to him?
Well, just because.
He's in the news.
Yeah.
Well, of course he is. Well, I'm taking great pleasure in the fact that he is involved in this scandal now. The finance minister, and he said in Senate estimates yesterday that he'd stuffed up. I said that I'd stuffed up. I'm speaking now, please, Matthias. This isn't as easy as it sounds, actually, having two politicians on the line. Now, I was up at the Piper with Lucy, and we were skinning up a fatty, and I was laughing my head off because he's the finance minister of the government, and he stuffed up his personal finances. Yeah. What a tool.
Well, hold on. Let's let Matthias counter that. Matthias, you were part of the coup against Big Mal. Do you have any regrets now?
Well, no, I don't have any regrets because Malcolm's very rude to me. Vance upon a time was my friend, but he lost the confidence of the Liberal Party party room, and we had to vote him out. And so, you know, we're gone with ScoMo. Actually, I call him ScroMo. It's short for scrotum. No, don't be rude, please, Malcolm. I'm speaking now to the people in Brisbane. No, well, I can speak whenever I like. I'm on the line as well. But good on you, Malcolm. You do what you want, terrible man.
Well, Malcolm, the final word. Matthias has had his say.
Well, the final word is what an absolute mick-mock. I mean, really and truly, he's the Belgian reptile. He's made out of chocolate. Why would you vote for that mob? Really and truly. I mean, he knifed me and installed a man that pooped his pants in the Engadine McDonald's in 1990.
Still peddling that.
Yeah, okay.
It's a myth.
Still peddling that. I mean, it was good in 2018. It's still as fresh as ever in 2019, I can tell you.
So, Malcolm,
I've got to go downstairs and meet Christopher Pine. He's on the rower. You can hear him from here.
Oh, very good. Oh, good. I don't know who to thank. Thanks, everyone, that was on the phone just then. It's the Big Breakfast.
What a political wrap-up.
Triple M.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Okay, as someone who lives near the Brisbane River, I'm getting a little concerned about a said cyclone that might be coming down towards us because this is what they said on Nine News last night.
Queensland's coastline in the firing line of Cyclone Omar.
Conditions on the beach are going to start to deteriorate, initially with large swell, but also with extra high tides, abnormally high tides.
I'll give you what's going to happen.
Here we go.
Oh, no.
Righto.
You know how Marto everyone's the getting excited? Weather. In other words, yep. The weathermen and girls are doing their reports from near Burleigh or from Snapper yep. Rocks because there's waves building up. We ain't seen nothing at the moment. We have not seen anything at all.
That's what concerns me. The last time a cyclone came near us, there was a flood in 74.
All right, but this wasn't about the cyclone previously because it was about the cyclone was coming down. If you think of the map, you know, in your mind, think of the map coming down from New Caledonia. It was coming towards Brisbane from New Caledonia. Mm-hmm. And then it was supposed to take a left turn and head towards the top of New Zealand and it'll probably fizzle out or whatever.
Overnight,
their best modelling suggests that there's a greater than 50% chance that it's going to keep on coming towards the Queensland coast. And they're saying between Mackay and Fraser Island to cross, which is, if it goes Fraser Island, that's only 240 k's, 50 k's north of us. Mm-hmm. That's when we've got it. That's why things are starting to get real serious at that stage. At the moment, it's just big waves. And, of course, if anyone's seen that large yellow thing in the sky last night, it's
that
called a full moon. Around 10 o'clock this morning, there's going to be enormous tide. So be careful. But the big thing is, all right, most forecasters will not go more than 7 days out.
Okay.
All right? And on this show, can I just remind you, there's some rain coming, okay?
Yes, we have talked about that for a while.
No, some proper rain. No, we haven't talked about it because I've been talking about it since I believe it is the 1st of February.
Uh-huh.
I suggested that their ants are on the move, and when the ants are on the move, something serious. The ants knew that this cyclone was going to cross the coast and we were going to get a bit of a rain event next week. It'll start on Sunday and go until Thursday. Well, I'll remind you, this is 1st of February. Yeah. Ants are moving around, and where are they going? They're going up because it is about to rain like nothing else in the next couple of weeks.
That did happen.
Ants have been moving there for. It's still happening. If you keep an eye on your house, okay. It's still going on. The ants are moving all their furniture, all their pool equipment, whatever they've got lying around in the yard. They're moving it all up high inside your house. They're in the ceiling of your house right now, just going, there's rain coming. I told the humans there's rain coming. What about the guy at the golf course? He confirmed it.
Hey, I'm a greenkeeper.
Have you noticed them on the move?
Absolutely, on our golf course. They actually come when it's going to rain. They actually come onto our green. So, yes, they are covering our green. So there is ants everywhere.
If we want to be real smart, we have to tap into the Bureau of Meteorology that the ants use, and it'll be quite clear. We get enough time.
What do you want me to do with this? Okay, so the ants are now in my roof. Do I go and live with them? Like, what are we supposed to do?
I'm just telling you, there's some rain coming. No, it's just to use as a forecasting tool. We'd be better off using them than ringing the Bureau because they'll never say, 8 days out, I can't go that far. Well, the ants can go 3 weeks and the rain's coming. That's all I want to tell you.
Yeah, these radars, they're so boring. This technology, what are the insects up to?
Exactly. I'm fair dinkum. That is the way we should be doing it.
Do they do it on levels? Like if they're halfway up the tree, it's not much
cover. I'll go home and check that one. That's an interesting point.
Yes. Is it going over the top?
Okay, you're under.
Yeah, and if they're flying around, it's a cyclone. Yes.
The Big Breakfast. Anything is possible. With Marto, Robin and Nick Cody.
I know how much you guys love it when my girlfriends contribute to our radio show, and I've just had one now texting me. She is currently on the train. She got on at Indooroopilly and is heading into the city. Mm-hmm. I'm going to protect her anonymity. Mm-hmm. Is that how you say it?
You know what I mean?
I'm going to protect her identity and call her Sophie. But this is what she's texted, and I want your ruling on it. Chivalry is dead. I travel the train every day, and every day I see schoolboys, young men and older men and tradies and lots of super fit men hogging seats while women are left standing in work gear, heels and carrying multiple bags. In the last year, I would have experienced less than 10 instances where a guy has got up and offered his seat to a woman. There's a lot that bothers me about this. They are so consumed with their phones, they don't even look up. I've seen them look at women standing and then close their eyes and go to sleep. I'm constantly being pushed by them trying to get on and off the train first. The ladies first rule is dead. And basically, all this is just a lack of bloody good manners, she says. It's really just rude. I've seen a woman leave her seat to offer it to a pregnant woman because all the men around her don't offer her their seat. I've literally just seen a guy get on the train and he's now sitting down. And a young woman, not a student, is trying to get her balance while standing and carrying two huge bags. He's not even acknowledging her. Now, two old ladies have just got on the train and he's still sitting there. Oh, here comes the phone. This is the regular occurrence and it's a sad indictment on our society.
So sad. Me too is the saddest thing, isn't it?
What do you mean?
Can't have it both ways. I don't feel good about the pregnant lady and the old lady. I bet you she's overstating that too for the fact that she knows, oh, I'm writing to Robin, I'll make a real point. You can't hit us on the snout at every opportunity, this is females in general, and go, no, we're equal. All right, well, if you want to be equal, stay standing unless you're an old lady or a pregnant lady.
Okay, so you... So
I caught a train my whole life as a kid.
21st century, for you, there is no such thing as that old-fashioned chivalry.
Not for young women, no.
Oh, of course, no. I think there should definitely be chivalry, but at the same time, I watched my wife give birth 4 months ago, right?
Yeah.
And I saw how hard it was. And if you can't stand up on a train... It's going to be a lot harder on the day you've got to push that bub
out.
That's
true. You know what I mean? We're helping
them out. You're doing some strength exercises. Do some squats while you're up there. Get that core tight. Get ready. It is going to be full on.
So you no longer care
I do because I'm from a different generation. But our young men today have been told, our younger men today have been told, well, I don't need your help anymore. I'm equal to you. Well, all right. Good on you.
Okay, hang on. Let me just get a ruling on this then. What about a school kid sitting on a train while an adult? Is that okay?
I think so. A young adult, yeah. Old lady, I would always suggest they get up, and I think both of my kids would get up for any old lady or a pregnant lady. But anyone else, we're all equal in this for these days. Women have told us we're equal.
Okay, let's see.
The Big Breakfast's can of worms.
Is chivalry dead? Rebecca of the Gold Coast, what do you reckon?
I'm going to play devil's advocate here, guys, and say that Sophie's a bit of a princess. So what about the tradies on the train that are getting ready to work 10 hours in this 37 degree heat or whatever, I'm a firm believer that unless you're pregnant or elderly or disabled, doesn't matter what sex you are, if you're disabled, we should all be giving up our seats. Otherwise, no. Unwrap the cotton wool and get over it.
Okay, what do you reckon about kids, like school kids sitting down?
Oh. I think any school kid with respect should stand up for an adult, and we would have got our asses kicked if we didn't.
Yeah,
Far as the women thing goes, I think that's ridiculous. If you're commuting in heels, all the power to you, but don't whinge about it.
Look at you go back.
Rebecca, do you now open doors for anybody, doesn't matter whether it's male or female? You don't see gender anymore, do you?
No, you don't. If someone's walking out the door and you happen to be walking in or vice versa, you just hold it open. It's just sort of common courtesy. I don't think it really matters what gender you are, but I think women are crying to be equal, and like we said, as soon as they get the chance, they want to be treated a little bit more special.
Good call.
Yeah, and to me, a woman with high heels and me as with a hangover is the same thing. We did it to ourselves. You know what I mean? Guys, I'm munted. Can I have a seat?
Paul of Forest Lake, what do you think about this? Is chivalry dead?
Oh, morning, guys. Yeah, look, I just want to let you know that I am want to be a true gentleman, but men from the 1800s haven't changed since day dot. It's just men are the most confused species in the Western world.
Yeah.
Because we don't know whether we can open doors. We don't know whether we can pay for dinner. We don't know whether we can pull a chair out for a lady, because we don't know whether they're going to hit on the snout because they think that, they can't do it by themselves.
But here's the thing, right, Paul, and I agree that it has got, particularly in the last 10 years, it's got really confusing. But if that's what you want to do as a human being, it shouldn't matter. Like, just do it.
Well, I'd do it. But you don't know whether you're going to get hit on the snout
with a
bad look of, no, I can look after myself and pay for my own dinner. No, I can pull my chair out by myself. I'm an individual.
But you know what? If someone said that to me, Paul, I would just go back at them going, that's really rude. I'm just being a nice person.
That's a good point, and then I'd pull the chair out as they went to sit down. Gotcha.
Hey, we're getting slammed. 1-333-53. Get your calls in. Going to take some more.
Scott of Bracken Ridge, what do you reckon?
What the caller before said, we are very confused. But I've opened doors for a young lady. Admittedly, I was on university campus and absolutely copped one of the biggest sprays and everything from her, and wanted to punch on because I belittled her.
Wow.
Hang on. So what you lit? All you did was open a door, and she found that offensive.
Exactly.
And universities are at the forefront of our thinking, aren't they? They're the vanguard leading us in terms of the way we think as a society, and that's what they're thinking.
That's it. Feminist, I'm not really up to speed on all the political names and everything. Classes and everything like that. But by the end of it, I've given her a few expletives and everything and offered to accept her challenge to go down the park to a round of applause from the other blokes that were standing around.
So how did it end then? If you were going backwards and forwards, you'd done something that you thought was just being nice. She's given you a gobful. You went back at her and said, hang on a sec. The blokes cheered, and then what?
Then I just closed the door, walked off. Mm. Couldn't be bothered standing there arguing with the brain dead.
He's not going to hit anyone.
Yeah, some people are just dickheads.
I mean, I have to say, that's just rude. Bill of Newstead, what do you think? Is chivalry dead?
Unfortunately, I think it's on its way out. I mean, I grew up in a... You know, I'm only 32, and when I grew up, you know, you open doors for girls, and that was great.
Now, of course you did.
You go to do it, and I always do it. I won't stop doing it, even though I cop a spray.
Yep.
It's just automatic, but, you know, women seem to get offended now.
This is a strange one on the phones, 133353. A lot of lads calling in saying that they want to be chivalrous, but they feel like in this age of equality, they can't be, or they don't know if they should be. So we're going to keep the poll going on Twitter. At Triple M Brisbane is the handle, Nick Cody.
Yeah, why don't you just hold the door open for anyone behind you? Who cares? It's just being polite. It doesn't matter what gender you are, what gender the other person is. Just hold the door open. Don't be a dick.
Just have
it's pretty straightforward.
Just have a door stopper. The door's open all the time. You don't have to do anything. It's a big breakfast.
Sorted equality.
Triple M's Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
I need a ruling from both of you guys and anyone else that wants to participate.
I can't believe you keep on asking us questions.
Well, because I, you know, you come with a lot more blokey experience than I do. So,
who's the question on behalf of?
It's on behalf of my 16-year-old who's nearly 17 and in year 12.
Righto.
Yeah. Okay. He goes to a boys' school and is really good friends. His kind of group of friends are a lot of the boarders at that school.
Oh, so is my bloke. That's really fun when you're friends with all the boarders.
Well, one of his best friends is the school captain who actually comes from Adelaide.
Oh, Jesus.
He's also another good mate is one of the football kids from Cairns. So these kids come from all over, right? And so it was with that in mind, and I'm trying to find the text message he sent me because he tried to do a really good pitch about it, going, Mum, you know how all my mates don't come from Brisbane and, like, I'm the only one that comes from here? I'm like, yeah, what do you want? He goes, can we host the pre's for the formal? And I went,
This is what all kids in grade 12 are thinking about all year. Yeah. They often try to put the formal on early, I noticed.
Ours is on March 30th.
Aha, to get rid of it so the kids can concentrate on their last year on schoolwork.
So.
Smart.
That's soon.
Yeah,
I reckon pre's is better than post.
Well, yesterday I get the message.
Never go post.
How about the post?
Oh, no.
Oh, Robin.
You can't do it.
You cannot.
Do you like your house?
Well, this is the thing.
The pre's, because I think, from my memory, the pre's, the parents go to the pre's and it's all really formal and you get nice photos. It might be the last time your son's actually looks like he's...
Decently dressed.
Some of them may never get married.
Well, he is wearing the suit that he wore to our wedding, so I don't have
to... Oh, that was tidy.
Oh, bang.
Yeah, do nice the pre. Suit. The pre is classy, but post, I can tell you, I've had one of our kids' mates suspended because... Schools don't want you to have the post, but they get completely out of control, Corey Worthington style party.
Yeah, I vomited up a bottle of Wild Turkey, I think.
Oh,
my post. Yeah.
Classy.
Don't ever have a post.
Okay.
Well, no, don't just ask Nick and I.
All right.
Ask everyone else. A pre, from my experience, a pre is really classy and good, but a post is just filthy party.
So basically.
It's their first all-nighter.
Oh.
For a lot of kids, it's their first time they go. Don't you reckon, Nick?
Yeah, I had to play footy the next day. I got home at about 7 in the morning and the game was at 10:30 and my dad said, mate, it's what you chose to do and you've got to go play footy. And I had the first quarter off. And just
with the ball?
It was a rough one.
Hosting a pre or post, let's just say, what could possibly go wrong?
Worst post-formal party that's been at your house. You what?
Todd of Burbank, what happened?
Oh, there you go.
Hey, how you going, guys?
Burbank.
Yeah. 2.5 acres. We had 155 kids there and went perfect. Had only a couple of little instances, but other than that, it was a really, really good party.
They go all night?
Yeah. Went till 8 o'clock in the morning and then we kicked them out and they had to go to school for the next day. So. But no, we did the right thing and registered with the police and all that sort of stuff and had armbands for them and had parents on the gate, and it went really, really well.
I want to hear about the next day at school. How did that day go?
There were a few sore heads there. It's quite funny, actually.
Did they have their uniforms with them? What did they go to school in? Did they just rock up from their formal gear and go straight to school?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, you'd be hanging for a substitute teacher that day. Just please put on Shrek, mate. Let us chill out. I don't want to do anything.
Larissa of Munroobin, pre or post, have you done it? What happened?
It wasn't me that held it. It was one of the popular kids at school. So I definitely recommend going pre. Post can get pretty out of hand.
How out of hand is what we want to know, Larissa?
There was over 200 kids there, not only from our school but other schools that ended up rocking up. A couple of arrests were made, police were there.
If the cops don't come, it's not a good party.
Exactly, but yeah, no, it apparently got really, really out of hand. I was one of the lucky ones that left earlier in the night, but yeah, people rocked up to school in formal dresses and everything like that. Like, it went all night.
Oh, rock on.
I kind of think that deserves a bit of an award, really, if you turn up in your frock the next day to school.
Big breakfast on Triple M.
Guys, I don't know whether you know, but my husband Sean has given up booze, and so I've decided to dramatically cut back on the amount of alcohol that I've been drinking.
Good on you.
Yeah, good on me. So I've stopped during the week, but I'm a bit of an event person, so when you sit down with a meal, you want to have a drink that looks like it's...
I don't know what you're talking
about. It's sounding problematic now. I'm a bit of an event person. Who doesn't love breakfast? It's the most important meal of the day, and a Bloody Mary... with me toast.
No. But I've been just trying to find out what I can have as an alternative because water just doesn't crack it all of the time.
Soda water and lime.
Well,
lime
here's the thing. Ice. So I've been looking at soda water, mineral water and tonic water and just checking which one is the best one for you. Now, if you get the really expensive mineral water, it's supposed to come bubbling over rocks and be full of magnesium, but you've got to get the good stuff because otherwise it's just carbonated water, right?
What's the good stuff got in it?
San Pellegrino.
What are they doing to it?
Well, they're picking it off the mountains in Italy.
Well, it's... you know all those rivers...
What about Mount Franklin?
From Tassie.
You know all those rivers with the bubbly, sparkling water?
Yeah.
You know those rivers?
Those ones. Yeah. Soda water just is boring. There's nothing much in it. There are no calories, which is a good news, but it doesn't, you know, there's a little bit of zinc, a little bit of calcium, a little bit of copper, a little bit of magnesium. But here's tonic water, right? Now, I quite like a tonic and I feel
on
like...
On its own.
Yeah, on its own without the gin because it still kind of feels like I'm having a gin and tonic.
Yeah.
But did you know what's in tonic water apart from 124 calories?
There's some weird vegetable,
yes.
I think.
No, quinine.
Oh, quinine.
Okay.
Isn't that good if you got malaria?
That's it.
Have you got malaria?
but it was developed in India when the... colonials were there because malaria was bad.
Yeah.
I did not
know that.
That's
why they started drinking gin and tonic. They said, what can we make to make this stupid tonic taste better? And they said, let's throw lots of gin in it.
Yeah.
That really sums up the English, doesn't it?
No.
We're sick. We should just drink. Very healthy people.
Big breakfast, Triple M.
Finish with the silly story of the day. A woman has been body shamed by a spray tanner who said it would cost an extra $20 for a tan since she wasn't under a size 8. For all of those going, what's that mean? It means if you're size 6 and 8, you're a smaller style of size woman.
Yeah, you're a size woman.
All right, so she's turned up for a spray tanner and who said, oh, express tan, normally 35. I'm going to have to charge you 55 because you're a bit bigger.
How much bigger?
Size 10 to 12, which isn't
that much bigger,
is it?
Yeah.
Of course it's not. It's only a size of 2. So they're in a bit of a blue at the moment and because the spray tanner said, oh, my regular clients are a size 8 and that's why I charge that and that's standard. But I always, it's like if I was a house painter and you had a 2-bedroom house and there's my price, but oh, hold on, you got a 7-bedroom with a garage, I'm going to have to charge you more.
Okay, I agree with that in theory, but it actually gets worse than that.
What do you mean?
Yes,
I haven't read the whole story, as you're saying.
Is there more? Okay, so I've just gone on to, and I've seen the Instagram exchange backwards and forwards, and what you say is correct. She did go that way. And then she said...
Did she say, hey, barge ass, I haven't got that much spray tan, I'm going to have to order in from interstate?
No.
No.
She said, my regular clients are a maximum size 8, which is what you said.
Yeah.
It'll be $20 extra as their more surface area, if you know what I mean.
That's great.
They're not just happy to do that. She really pushes the point home. She says, I just wanted to say that if you don't want to pay a $20 surcharge, maybe lose a little.
Oh.
Not trying to be mean. It's just the industry. No, love.
I think you are trying to be mean.
I think you are. I think that last sentence was completely unnecessary.
Well, all right. If you don't want to pay that extra 20, I'm thinking like a house painter again.
Again.
Right. I'm only doing the front and the eastern side from now. Okay?
Yeah.
And then I'm going home. How would you like on your spray tan if I only did half your body? Hey?
Yeah, just the bits of the arms that are showing.
Yeah, and you've got to wear pants.
Yes.
And what does she charge a bloke? Does that mean that blokes don't go in there?
Blokes don't go in there.
Yes, they do.
Who?
Blokes get spray tans. Do
Male
not
strippers.
Know other blokes
That's
get
it.
Spray tans.
House painters.
Who's getting spray tan?
House painters.
House painters.
What man is getting spray painted?
Okay, I'm telling you, there are blokes that get spray tans. They just don't tell you.
What?
They do.
I will say this. My dad once did come out. My dad, to describe what he looks like Ned Flanders, right? My dad, he looks like Ned Flanders from The Simpsons. And he's put on sunscreen one day, came out, and we just lost our mind because he didn't know he picked up some sunscreen that had a fake tan in it.
Oh, lovely.
So there was just an odd orange-looking Ned Flanders.
I rest my case.
The Big Breakfast on Triple M. Catch you tomorrow. Don't waste your life.
It's the end of the podcast. What do you know? So tune in tomorrow and catch the show.
Triple M.